Well, it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, and if you want to take up a collection, I'll sing you the song even, or maybe if you don't want to hear the song, take up a collection. But anyway, the key is, here we are, fourth Sunday of Advent, and in just a few hours, we'll begin our Christmas Eve celebration. So our calendar cuts short the fourth Sunday, the fourth week of Advent. Nevertheless, this is a great opportunity for us to pause and meditate upon what Christmas is really about. We have today for our gospel the beautiful scene of the Annunciation. And this makes us focus on the mystery of the Incarnation, what we celebrate at Christmas. But to ponder this, we take our minds back. And we go back to the very beginning, to the Genesis. There, God in His love created. He created out of nothing. He spoke His word, capital W word, saying, "Let there be light," and creation began to unfold. This creation had order, design, purpose. So God created through His divine wisdom, capital W wisdom. That word, that wisdom, is Jesus. And so, the second person of the Holy Trinity. Here we have, as we say in our creed, we believe in Jesus Christ through whom all things were made. Of course, this creation climaxed with us. We are made in God's image. We have been given that rational soul with intellect, free will. Why? Because God doesn't force us to love Him. We have to make that fundamental choice. And so Adam and Eve were our first parents. They lived in paradise. They had this beautiful, graced relationship with God. They lived in harmony with God, themselves, all of creation. But they, too, each day had to say that yes to God. Sadly, we know the devil tempted. They believed in the temptations. They committed that original sin. They thought they could be God. They thought they could do their own will. They thought they could choose what's right, what's wrong, make their own truth, and so on. And they lost paradise. Going back to Genesis, we find that right after that sin, Adam and Eve felt shame. The harmonious relationship is gone. They hide from God. God asks the question, "Where are you?" Well, of course, He knows where they are. He's God. They're hiding behind the bushes. But spiritually, He's asking, "Where are you?" They've become estranged from God. That's the original sin. And sin continued to grow and to grow and to grow so that there's this chasm between God and mankind. And the prophet said, no act of ours could possibly solve that chasm, to bridge it. It would take an act of God, but it would also take an act of man. A man, because we're the ones who commit the sin. And here's the mystery of Christ, that Jesus Christ will be coming into this world, true God, becoming true man, to save us from sin. Keep in mind, in Genesis, this is foretold, because God says to Satan the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. You'll strike at the heel, but he will crush your head." This foreshadows our Blessed Mother bearing Jesus, the Savior. And Prophet Isaiah will say, "The virgin will be with child and bear a son, and he will be Emmanuel," meaning God is with us, referring to Jesus. And that brings us then to this beautiful gospel passage. In the fullness of time, in God's plan, He was going to send His Son. As our Lord says Himself, God so loved the world, He gave His Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. For Jesus, true God, to become true man, He needed a very special mother, and that's Mary. And so from the very first moment of her life, she is conceived and born free of all sin even original sin. When Archangel Gabriel comes later in Mary's life, he says, "Hail, full of grace." And the Greek text reads, "Charis kekatomene," which means absolutely full of grace. She is free of all sin. Because what God is doing is starting a new Genesis. He's starting a new creation. We're going to break those old bonds of sin, and we're going to start again with a new Eve who's going to bring forth the perfect man, Jesus, as our Lord and Savior. Now, Mary does have to say yes. God doesn't force her, and she does. She says, "Be it done unto me according to thy word." She conceives by the Holy Spirit, and through her, Jesus, true God, becomes also true man. Here, too, we remember the beautiful passage from St. John's Gospel that we'll hear on Christmas morning. "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with enduring truth and love." There's another fulfillment here, and that's the temple. In our first passage, we hear of how King David wants to build a temple for God. Here they've settled in Jerusalem. They're now a powerful nation. God should have a great temple to dwell in. He will not have that opportunity. Solomon will. But in the core of the temple, the Holy of Holies, was kept the Ark of the Covenant. And in the Ark was kept the Ten Commandments, some of the manna from the Exodus journey, and then also the priestly staff of Aaron. Mary's the new temple. She bears Christ. Jesus is in her womb. And this Jesus is the fulfillment of all the commandments, the Word who became flesh. Jesus is the bread of life who has come down from heaven to nourish us through the gift of the Holy Eucharist. Jesus is the priest who will offer himself as the sacrifice for our sins, and by his blood wash away that sin and bring us back into union with God, to restore the graced relationship, to bring about harmony once again between us, God, each other. And so, my brothers and sisters, ponder this mystery. This is what our faith is all about. We have a Savior. Thank God. No other religion does. And this is why we're called to bring this message to other people. So the challenge then is, from this gospel, first of all, to be like Mary and say yes. When we think about Christmas and gift-giving and receiving gifts, sadly, sometimes the one person who's forgotten is the person we honor, Jesus. What gift do we give Jesus? That gift is our yes. That gift is our love. Saying, "Jesus, I love you. I give myself to you as my Lord and Savior." And the second challenge is to be like Archangel Gabriel, to be the messenger. Angel means messenger. So to bear witness to what Christmas is about. Yes, there's much festivity and happiness and joy, but let's not forget to live the message and speak to others about it. Last night I was talking to my friend Father Spahala, and he recounted a Christmas story from last year. So he said that his nephew A, who is a very practicing, faithful Catholic with his family, and niece B, who has sort of lapsed away, well, they're all together for Christmas. So great-nephew A, from the practicing family, is playing with great-nephew B from the non-practicing family, and they're playing with their toys and so on in the room of nephew A. Well, the little nephew B looks at a crucifix in the room hanging over the kid's bed, and nephew B says, "Who's that?" Nephew A, who's 5 years old, said, "That's Jesus. This is why we have Christmas. Jesus was born to forgive our sins, and he rose to give us everlasting life." 5 years old. The message of Christmas given to someone who has been cheated out of faith. So my brothers and sisters, let us be the good messengers of faith. Because after all, we all know people who don't believe. They'll have Christmas, but pagan Christmas. We may have those people in our family even. Sadly, I have some. But nevertheless, with great joy, we should bear witness to the message and show what Christmas is really about. This great gift of God's love, our Savior Jesus Christ, born that first Christmas day. May God bless you.